The Song of Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, recorded for us in this first chapter of Luke's Gospel, is they are the first words that Zechariah speaks. You'll remember that he was struck dumb because of his unbelief when the angel of the Lord met him in the temple as he was burning incense there in the temple, and an angel encountered him and told him that he would be given a son through his wife Elizabeth, who was advanced in years and barren, but nevertheless the Lord would do this. And Zechariah made excuses, he didn't believe, and so he was struck dumb. And for 9 months then Zechariah has been unable to speak, and his neighbours and his friends and his family have been accustomed to receiving messages from him written out on a tablet, as we find is happening here, when at his circumcision he was to be named, and the common practice was to name a baby after someone within the family. And it was the intention of the community to name this baby, Zechariah, after his father, as we read there in verse 59. But his mother, Elizabeth, says, no, you shan't call him that. You shall call his name John. They can't fathom why on earth Elizabeth would be wanting to call his name John. And so they consult with Zechariah, and he writes out on the tablet, his name is John. And really, this is a statement of his acceptance of the word of the angel, because this was one of the things that the angel had commanded earlier in chapter 1, as we have the account of Zechariah's encounter with the angel. We're told that in verse 13, your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. So Zechariah's writing on the tablet, his name is John, is an indication that Zechariah has now accepted all that he encountered with the angel and the message that he was given there. And immediately, we're told, his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And here then is his blessing, the song that he sings, or the prophecy that he says, which is given in Hebrew poetical form here. We call it a song, and in its Latin title it is called the Benedictus, the blessing, because of the first word in the Latin, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Well, like Mary, whose song we considered this morning, Zechariah has had time to think about his response to the angel's message. Mary only had 4 or possibly 5 days as she journeyed from Nazareth to the hill country of Judea. Zechariah, on the other hand, has had 9 whole months to reconsider his unbelief of the angel's message. But he's had this time then to think about what the angel had said to him, and to contemplate the message that had been given to him. Let's look for a moment at that message, because I think that it is significant to us in understanding the words that Zechariah is about to speak. We are told that this angel, verse 11 of chapter 1, appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Now, Zechariah is a priest, and he has been chosen by lot, as was the custom, to burn incense on the altar of incense. Now, the altar of incense stood within the holy place, just outside the veil that separated it from the Holy of Holies. So, in the tabernacle that Moses built, in the centre of it was the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was. There was a veil, and then there was a room, the holy place, that had an altar of incense close to that veil. and on one side there was a table in which bread was laid out. It was called the table of showbread. And on the other side there was a candlestick that burned constantly. And so the priests would have to go in there regularly to trim the lamps of the candlestick and to set out the bread on the table of showbread, and also to burn incense. Apparently they burned incense twice a day on that altar of incense. It was a time in which the people prayed earnestly to God for his peace to be upon them, and no doubt also prayed for deliverance from their enemies, particularly as they continue to be under the domination of a foreign power. And it was the custom, apparently, for the priests to be chosen by lot to go in and to burn incense. So that would be either in the morning or in the afternoon, different priests would go in and burn incense. And this time it's Zechariah who has gone in. He's been chosen by lot to burn incense, and he encounters an angel there. And we're told that Zechariah was troubled, as you naturally would be if you encountered an angel in the holy place where you expected to encounter no one at all. And fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." Well, there's a whole sermon, or more than one sermon probably, in that, and we don't have time to spend going through it this evening, but I do want to draw out two or three things from it before we proceed to consider the song of Zechariah. Of course, what the angel is declaring to Zechariah is that the Messiah is coming imminently. Not that he's speaking directly of the Messiah, but he's speaking of the one who would prepare the way for the Messiah. A prophet like Elijah was going to come, and he was going to prepare the way for the Messiah of God. Now, this, of course, is in answer to the prayers of the people of God. So when the angel says, "Your prayers have been answered," it is probable that the prayer that the angel is speaking about is this prayer that Zechariah would have been praying just a moment earlier as he offered incense upon the altar, a prayer for peace, a prayer for deliverance from the enemies. Now, it's possibly also true that it's an answer to a historical prayer of Zechariah. No doubt, in his younger years, when he believed it was possible, he had been praying for a child, praying for a son or daughter. And the angel may also be including in this an answer to that prayer, because immediately he says, "Your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." But I don't think that that's the predominant, the main answer, or the main prayer that's being answered here, because Zechariah responds with unbelief to the announcement that his wife Elizabeth will bear a son. In other words, he hasn't immediately been praying for a son. That's not what's on his mind. He thinks they're past it, and naturally they would be. But the angel, in the richness of his announcement, includes the answer to both these prayers. Yes, Zechariah and Elizabeth will have their earlier prayer answered. They will have a son, and this son will pave the way for the deliverer to come to Israel, for peace to come to the nation who long for it. And so over these 9 months, Zechariah has had time to contemplate the message of the angel, to think about what he has been told about his own son who was to come into the world. Like Elizabeth, Zechariah has been filled with the Holy Spirit, and this suggests something more to us. We're not told that Mary was filled with the Holy Spirit before she sang her song. She sings from her knowledge of the scriptures. She sings in response to the angel's announcement, an announcement that she has believed and accepted wholeheartedly and with joy. Elizabeth earlier had also received a message that came from the Spirit of God. We read of it there in verse 41. When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." You see, what we find there is that the Holy Spirit has made known things to Elizabeth that she wouldn't naturally have known. For one thing, as soon as Mary enters the home and calls out her name, she wouldn't have known that Mary was pregnant. No one has come and told her of it. This is the first she knows about it. The Holy Spirit reveals that to her. Furthermore, she knows that this baby that Mary carries in her womb is her Lord, is the deliverer who was promised, the Messiah who was to come. And so this phrase that she was filled with the Spirit is an indication of revelation. And we find that, like Elizabeth, Zechariah is also filled with the Spirit. There it says it in verse 67. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, and then he enters into this benedictus, this blessing of God. What Zechariah does then is he takes from all that he has heard from the angel's announcement in the temple that he's been meditating over for the last 9 months, and in addition to that, the Holy Spirit makes clear to him certain things regarding the life of his son and its implications for this period in the history of Israel. Now, just one more thing before we launch into the song itself. And that is to note that the people are asking a question. Fear came on all the neighbours when Zechariah's mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed and he spoke. And we're told that the people who heard these things treasured them up, laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be?" It seemed obvious that the miraculous encounter with an angel in the temple, the miraculous way in which Elizabeth has conceived and has borne a son in her old age, and the miraculous way in which Zechariah, who was struck dumb 9 months earlier, is now able to speak, all indicate that there is something significant about this child. What then will this child be? And really, this song is an answer to that question. What then will this child be? And how is Zechariah going to answer that question? Well, he does it in the words of the Benedictus. And there are two things that I want to say about this song that Zechariah sings, or this poem that he prophesies. The first is this: it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Yes, the question that's been asked is, what then will this child, John, what will John be, given the circumstances surrounding his conception and birth? What will he be? But Zechariah's response is, it's not about him. It's not about John. It's about someone else. It's all about Jesus. The song naturally divides into two parts, verses 68 through 75, which we could say is a stanza about Jesus, and verses 76 through 79, which we could say is a stanza about John. But I would argue it's all about Jesus, though it divides naturally into those two parts. The first indication that we have that this song is all about Jesus is found in verse 69. Zechariah blesses the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, because he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Now, no doubt Zechariah has heard from his wife Elizabeth, or more probably has heard himself through speaking to Mary during her 3 month stay with them, that she was pregnant in a miraculous way. And he's probably heard all that Mary had to say about her encounter with the angel, and all that the angel had said to Mary. And Zechariah then knows that the Lord God is working to bring the Messiah into the earth. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. You see, he's not talking about John. John, you see, was Zechariah's son. And Zechariah, given that he was a priest, was of the house of Levi, not of the house of Judah. David was a descendant of Judah. That was the royal line. That was the line from which the king would come. All the priests came out of the house of Levi. John was a Levite. He could never sit on the throne of David as a descendant of David. He was no descendant of David. So Zechariah, in the first part of this song at least, is definitely singing about Jesus. He is the one who is being raised up out of the house God's servant David, answering the prophecies that were given through Abraham and David himself. But of course he does turn into the second part of this song to refer to John. Verse 76, and you, child, he's obviously singing this blessing over John, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways. And so John, you see, is the forerunner to Jesus. He prepares the way for Jesus. He's been given this commission to prepare the nation of Israel to receive the Messiah. This had been prophesied in Malachi and also in Isaiah, that there would be one who would come to prepare the way for the Lord. And so you see, even though Zechariah turns his attention to John and speaks about John, his son, in verse 76, it's still all about Jesus. It's about John's role as the prophet who would prepare the way for the Lord who was to come, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. So there's this very brief mention concerning John, but it does answer the question, doesn't it? The question that's on the minds of all the people: what then will this child be? Well, this child will be the prophesied forerunner to the Messiah, the one who will prepare the way for the Lord. And you see then throughout this song that there is an emphasis on what has been revealed by God in the Old Testament. And the Holy Spirit clearly has enabled Zechariah to understand the fulfillment of those Old Testament prophecies in terms of the baby that was in Mary's womb, and that this newborn child that lay before him, the fruit of his wife's womb. Over and over again he talks about those who spoke of prophets from of old. He talks about the covenant that God had made, that he had sworn with their father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. His words are all anchored in prophecy, but he understands that this is the imminent fulfillment of it, and it's all about Jesus. But there's a second thing that we can see in this song that Zechariah sings, and that is, it's all about salvation. It's all about salvation. Yes, it's about Jesus, but Jesus is the Saviour. He is the one who will deliver his people from what? Well, Zechariah's song speaks about salvation a number of times. You see, in verse 69, God has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. A horn spoke of strength and power. He is powerfully able to save. In verse 71, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. So, is this a political deliverance that Zechariah is referring to here? Is he talking about being, well, as he says in verse 74, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, being saved from those who have dominion over them, from the Romans in particular at this point in history? Well, I think Zechariah sees further than that. Again, the Holy Spirit has filled him, and he is prophesying under the inspiration of the Spirit, and he speaks perhaps what he does not understand, as the prophets did, as Peter tells us. They struggle to understand some of the things that they spoke as the Spirit moved them. Well, the same could be said of Zechariah. He spoke these words having been filled with the Spirit. Did he fully understand and comprehend what he was saying? Perhaps, maybe, probably not. But nevertheless, he speaks these words, and in verse 77, we have a clearer understanding of the salvation that is being spoken of. For this child who had been born to him, who was to prepare the way for the Lord, was said to give knowledge of salvation to his people. What knowledge? In the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God. In other words, the salvation that forms the heart of this song is not a political salvation from those who rule over the Israelites, but rather it is a spiritual salvation by which they are reconciled to God, having had their sins washed away and their hearts cleansed. It's talking about the salvation that the offerings and the sacrifices spoke of. A substitute who was to take the sins of the people and bear them away so that the people would have the smile of God upon them, rather than have the anger of God abide upon them. This salvation then is a spiritual salvation, not a political salvation. And indeed, what we have in this song of Zechariah is echoes of the Exodus. Remember how the people of Israel came out of their slavery in Egypt? God sent Moses to call them out, and he was told to go to Pharaoh and to say, "Let my people go, that they may serve me." And here it is, in verse 74, that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. This is about being reconciled to God. This is about being cleansed from sin and its power in our lives, as the Exodus was, a picture of spiritual salvation. It's a picture of being able to worship God and serve God with all of our hearts and souls and minds and strength, as the bondage of sin is taken away. And this is further expounded upon in the closing verses of the song. "Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high," it's an expression found in Isaiah, "to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace." There's a contrast being presented here. Light over against darkness. Here are people who are sitting in darkness. What is this darkness? Well, as we've seen in our studies of Romans, darkness is sin and the power of sin that dominates this world to such a degree that they cannot see, they do not understand, their eyes have been blinded to the realities of who God is and who Jesus is. But light is to come. Light is to come into the world with the coming of the Messiah and of his forerunner, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Here they are, they're sitting in the shadow of death. It's a bleak place. It's a place of hopelessness. But light is to shine. And here, while they sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, there is one who is going to come and guide their feet into the way of peace. They're going to get up. They're going to move out of that place of darkness and death into a place of peace, which speaks again of reconciliation with God. But not only reconciliation with God, but reconciliation by God. He is the one who will accomplish this reconciliation. He is the one who will shine with light into their darkness and bring peace into their hearts. This song then is all about Jesus. God, Zechariah blesses the God of Israel because he has visited them and redeemed them. This is a song of hopeful anticipation of the imminent fulfillment of the prophecies that God had spoken of centuries earlier, and that the people of Israel have been waiting for and longing for all of this time. Zechariah's initial response to the angel's announcement that the messenger of peace was coming was that of unbelief. But that unbelief has turned to faith and hope. His months of contemplation on the angel's message and the obvious truthfulness of it, as he sees evidences of that new life in his wife's womb, and then as the baby is born, and it can no longer be denied that God has worked a miracle there, and therefore everything else that the angel said must also be true concerning who this one was that was born of Elizabeth. He's contemplated it all, and it's brought conviction of the truth, and it's changed his life. You can imagine perhaps Zechariah going through this ritual, going through this routine. Think of it. Perhaps only once in a priest's life would he be chosen by lot to burn incense on that altar in the holy place. But it was a routine that was going on day after day after day, year after year after year, and it had gone on for centuries. He was just part of the routine. And the Israelites must have wondered, is this just going to go on forever? This monotonous routine of ritual? And suddenly, into the routine comes something that is anything but routine. An angel appears. An announcement is made. And it transforms Zechariah's whole outlook. And he rejoices. He blesses God. He has visited us. He's redeemed us. It's happening. It's happening now. And his whole outlook is transformed as a result of this encounter with the angel and what has ensued after it. And here we are, once again, Christmas is almost upon us. And once again, we're thinking about the birth of Jesus Christ some 2,000 years ago. And once again, we go through all the routines that surround this season. The parties and the presents. And of course, the little religious rituals that we go through as well. The special services, the singing of carols, and all of these things. And of course, being good Bible-believing Christians, we're conscious of the fact that it's not all about a baby born in Bethlehem, but it's about the destiny of that baby born in Bethlehem. And we realise that the birth of that baby there in humility in Bethlehem was the beginning of a journey that would take him to the cross of Calvary. And we recognise that all of this was in order to accomplish our salvation. But after the year after year after year routine of these things, we can at times, I think, become a little bit unbelieving with regard to the fullness of the salvation that God has promised for us in Christ Jesus. It seems so distant to us. We carry on living in this world day after day and year after year, and nothing much seems to change. We go through these routines constantly. Well, may our contemplation of the miracle of Christmas cause our routine to be invaded by eternity. As we think about the birth of this baby in Bethlehem nearly 2,000 years ago, or perhaps more than 2,000 years ago now, depending on exactly the accuracy of our calendars, that birth of that deliverer, of that saviour of sinners, may the contemplation of that give us renewed faith in the promises of God and a renewed hope in the fulfillment of those promises. The one who came to Bethlehem has promised to come again. He says, "Behold, I come quickly," and may our heart respond, "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." Let's pray. Our Father God, we do thank you for this opportunity to think about Zechariah's song, as he blessed you for the provision of a redeemer, a deliverer, a saviour. And we thank you, Father, for the greater revelation that we have in the rest of the New Testament that shows us the way in which this promised child fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament, and the wonderful way in which he became a substitute for sinners and took their sins upon himself upon the cross of Calvary. We thank you, Father, that that you have opened our eyes to see wonderful things in your word, and to understand the relevance of the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. And Father, we pray that you would help us not only to realize that, but also that it may affect our lives and fill us with faith and hope concerning the promises yet unfulfilled, those of his second coming, those of the culmination of all of his work in the judgment and the deliverance of his people forever from sin's annoying, clinging ugliness. And Father, we pray that we would live in hope of that day when he will come again, that we will live in the reality of the imminence of eternity. And Lord, may we glorify our God and Saviour as we live out our lives for him, serving him here and now, and serving him forever in the new heavens and earth. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.